Hello, Great Minds. It's time for the Season 4 Battle Royale, where we bring all the show hosts together to hash out the lives and legacies of all this season's Great Minds. So welcome to the show, everyone. As always, I'm your host, Mr. DGMH, otherwise known as Zach Tobacco, and here to round out Season 4 are all our guest hosts, kind of. I had a note here that says, that's right, Luke's here, but he's not. So, sorry, buddy, you're not here. We'll try not to make too many sex jokes this time. Either way, so as we get ready to decide who is the greatest great mind of Season 4, I am joined by my high school history teacher, the unstoppable poet of Aragon, Mr. Sabbatical No More, Cullen Farrell. How are you doing tonight, Cullen?
Good, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And maybe you could add, what's the deal? Why did I call you the unstoppable poet of Aragon? Maybe you could give us a little detail there.
My book released yesterday, and I named it Unstoppable because there are several women in my life who are fighting cancer, and they're amazing. Ability to persevere and fight against the odds, and that was one of the reasons. And then there's also a steam locomotive on the front of the cover, so there's many different meanings behind the book. But I'm excited to finally have it done. It's my sabbatical piece, and now that I'm back teaching, I'm glad I got it done, and it's in print.
Sure, I know when an episode's done, it's a weight off my shoulders, and I'd say an episode is a little less work than a book, you know? So I get what you're saying for sure. So check out Unstoppable, his third book. The link's on the featured portion of the Facebook group. I shared it on Instagram, Twitter, and my personal Facebook as well. It's everywhere for you. We'll put it in the show notes for this episode as well. If you haven't read his first two books, get those too. They're great. Nice, enjoyable read. A lot of history in there, and I can't wait to see how this unstoppable theme plays out.
That's a tip. That's something coming with you too, right?
Well, it is a tip of the hat. There is an unstoppable theme in our future, I believe. Yeah. We won't spoil too much there. But then we are also joined by the First Lady of Shots, old Three Finger Jack herself, Kelly Rizal. How are you doing tonight, Kelly?
I'm fabulous. I look forward to getting Cullen's book. I'm just going to kind of join on that one as well. As someone who does not like or really understand poetry, his books are actually really good.
Mm-hmm. There's an emotional element, a human element.
There's emotional, and you can actually get it. So,
It's not a puzzle box that you have to unravel every line.
I do want to give that shout out there that I really do enjoy reading his poetry. So I look forward to getting the next one, and I highly recommend.
Mine arrives tomorrow. I ordered it the night that I saw Cullen posted it, so it's on its way. I want a signed copy, though, damn it. And Kelly, you had a bit of an experience this past weekend or week, last weekend. You don't even know it, but you met a fan. You met a listener. My cousin was in town who listens to every episode, which you think like, oh, it's your family. They always listen. Family doesn't fucking listen ever. All right. But like my cousin listens to every episode, and I was on the phone. Kelly's like, hey, are you guys still at this restaurant? I'll meet you for a drink. He's like, that old Three Finger Jack herself. I was like, yeah. So Kelly met a fan. Congratulations.
I know. I felt like a celebrity.
Yeah, I know. It was fun. Oh, it was fun. I like that. When he said that, I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And of course, we are also joined by our Stuart-loving psychology all-star, the Wawa Ice Queen, Dr. Sherry Valencik. How you doing tonight, Sherry?
Good evening, everybody. Is that our official like IRS job description? We're guest hosts?
I mean, you're the show guest host. I don't have, it's not a company, so I didn't have an IRS.
I always call myself your sidekick. So
I didn't know
that there was another
job title. Sidekick, guest host. I gave you guys a lot of nicknames, so I mean, whatever you want to be called. So.
Okay, am I correct to understand that Cullen's got some insider information about the next
season's theme? Season? Yes, we talked about it in China and Portugal chats. Yes.
So is Cullen the number one guest host, and the rest?
No,
of us
Cullen's just here the most. No, Cullen's book title took me by surprise a little bit because I have a season 5 thought, which will be, let's just say,
hard to stop.
The same name.
Can I also do a shameless plug for Cullen's book? Because I just ordered it. So it's $7 on Amazon. Think about what a great hostess gift that would make for the holidays or stocking stuffers.
Pop it in the bathroom and let people enjoy, you know, like it's a great.
Or put it on your volumes of them. Yeah.
My plug.
Thanks, Cher.
Yeah, seriously. I didn't even think to say the price. It's not like you're buying a $30 book of poems here. You're
$5 on a Kindle if you want to save money.
You know, I mean, tis the season. I mean, if you're just order a pile of them, and that way you can always bring it as a host gift. You've got
really
a pile
sell
of
it up like you're part of an elite club of like scholars who read Cullen Patrick Farrell's poetry. You know, you can really tune that up. You know.
Impress your friends at parties.
Good plugs, everyone. Good plugs. Cheers to Cullen. I'll
send you all a check here.
No, we hope you get the checks, my friend. Yes. Of course, then we were supposed to be joined by someone who I even wrote certainly not least. Last and certainly not least. I was being nice for a fucking change. But we are not joined by our Yinzer with the Yingling, our Apple Pie Skittles. Patriot, our man with the mouthful of Skittles, master all night long, Luke Franchuk. Couldn't make it all night long tonight. So he's not here. But what's everybody drinking tonight? Sherry, you want to go first?
I think Cullen should go first since he's the number one guest host.
Cullen is not the number one guest host. He's just here in Patreon land with me where it's safe.
Give him the top billing.
My own label, my own wine.
He's got his own poems. He's got his own wine. Cullen's got it all.
The Cullen store will we'll be opening a Cullen shop this season. You can buy all Cullen shit.
That's right.
Any single ladies out there? I just make my own wine. This is the grape season harvest, so I'm going to get myself some new juice here pretty soon.
I really want to try it. I've always wanted to try it. It's a blue.
When you're in Pittsburgh, give me a call.
I will. It's the Blue Ribbon wine, and it's not like the Blue Ribbon PBR gets. It's a nice big blue ribbon that he wins every year at a competition.
It's no Budweiser, Zach. So no.
Hey, don't spoil my show. I was drinking a Budweiser in pregame in honor of one of our honorable mention great minds, my grandfather Tadone. But I'm drinking a little bit of Maker's Mark French Oaked Bill's Recipe Number 46 bourbon.
Nice.
Yeah, I bought it when my cousin was down to try because we were going to a cigar shop and we didn't know if it was BYOB. It wasn't. Great little cigar shop right here in Port Charlotte. We should do a happy hour there sometime. It's great. But it's good. It's pretty good. It's not my favorite, but it's in French oaked barrels. Kind of connects to everything we talked a little bit about, except for Cleopatra, you know. So, but yeah, I was polishing up a Budweiser, but now I'm having a little bourbon. So cheers. Ladies, what are you drinking tonight?
Go ahead,
I'm having a Shinerbach Oktoberfest because Oktoberfest beers are my favorite types of beers. So I am definitely enjoying the season.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I'm a firm believer that Oktoberfest age well. I once grabbed a very old Sam Adams about 5 months out from Oktoberfest release, back when they actually released them in like September, October, and not like June. And it was better than normal Sam Adams Oktoberfest. I'm just going to stand by it. But Shinerbach's one of my favorites, too. Hard to find on draft. Sherry, what are you drinking tonight? And not Sherry, the greatest guest. You're the supreme guest host.
No, I don't want to be the supreme guest host. I will be happy to take bottom billing.
Sidekick. You're special. I don't.
Even though I'm the matriarch of the podcast.
I don't even know. I feel like I'm in trouble, but I don't think. What are you drinking, Sherry?
So I'm one season ahead of Kelly. So October 12th was the official first pour of one of the best beers on planet Earth.
Did you have the pour party?
I did not have the pour party because you were with your cousin. So
yes, without me, it would have been a pour party.
Pour party. That's right. This is my pour party almost, 10 days too late. But it is so tasty.
Christmas in a bottle.
Yes. And I actually have a ton of it because anytime anybody now comes down from Cleveland, they bring me a case of it. So the fridge is well stocked if anybody wants.
I will take you up on that. I promise
I'll
you.
I'll be there tomorrow.
I still think we should meet at the cigar shop, though, if you guys aren't opposed to that. They have beers on draft and be a nice place. You don't like cigars? We are anti-cigar.
Are we required to smoke cigars?
No, you can just chill in there. There's leather chairs and everything. It'll be the most comfortable beer you've ever had.
Like cigars, if I recall.
I know he does. We smoke. Kelly and I, and maybe Sherry was there. There was a long-winded cigar, but I don't know if he still had it by the time we got to Sherry. But Luke walked all around Ybor City and smoked his damn cigar.
He did.
Yep. Oh my. Oh my. Well, all right. Well, I said what I'm drinking, we're all drinking. So, all right, let's get to it. The season four battle royale. Because it's dangerous not to say it out loud in case a listener or a show guest host of any level doesn't know. We are discussing Bonnie, Prince Charlie versus Cleopatra, Queen of Egypt versus Zumbi, King of Palmares versus Benedict Arnold, with an honorable mention to our season opener, Jeanette Rankin. But first, it's some history for you, a reason to drink for me. It's the history of the great minds that made history come to be. Oh, yes.
Okay, Sherry, so look like you have a thought. Can I just start off by saying, can we just take one person off the table? Let's just take one person off the table.
Luke's already gone. I don't know what you want me to do.
No.
I'm with Sherry on this one.
I cannot take him off the table because he was a great mind of the season, and a lot of people like Bonnie Prince Charlie.
In your mind, he's a great mind. I don't know who else's mind is a great mind.
The Pope's mind.
But to call him a great mind and then to give Jeanette Rankin this substandard billing just because she was a soft opening?
She was the soft open. Jerry's like, why didn't we do a psych episode on Jeanette Rankin? I was like, because she was the soft open because I went insane during season three. And now every season will have a soft open.
Well, clearly you did go insane because you proposed that Bonnie Prince Charlie was a great mind. That is
Charlie almost upended the English Empire with a ragtag group of people in kilts. And it made for a hell of a good season, Outlander. All right, so
that's the only reason why you included him is because of your obsession with Outlander.
No, well, no, I'm a Stuart guy. It's like you're the perfect counter to me because I love the Stuarts almost blindly, and you hate the Stuarts almost blindly.
Well, it is blindly, but you would think after four seasons of DGMH that you would convince me to have some kind of affinity to the Stuarts. That has not happened.
We're going to do an episode. You're not going to know what it is. And I'm going to not say they're Stuarts the whole time. And once you say you like them, you're going to be like, wow, this person's great. And I'm going to be like, yeah, they're a Stuart. Hey, but
aren't
anyway,
you in the dark for most episodes that we do?
I don't like to keep.
I mean, you posed all these bizarre questions for pregame. You had knowledge of them.
I didn't. They're not bizarre. They're listener questions. They are, however, tough questions. They are hard. I try to figure them out, and we try. But anyway, speaking of questions, first question for tonight: who was your favorite and least favorite great mind of season four, and why? So Sherry already told us our least favorite, but who of the five was your favorite, Sherry?
Well, my favorite was Jeanette Rankin, and sadly, I just listened to that episode today, but that was the far superior one in my mind. I would agree. I've never heard of her before, which is my bad, my total bad, but then I spent 2 hours reading about her after the episode. So
love Jeanette Rankin.
Yes, love Jeanette Rankin.
We talked about doing a Psych or Shots episode on her down the road. The soft open was more just to ease into the season around the because we always start around the DGMH New Year. And then we did the Women's History Month special, you, me, and Kelly.
We could have done a really great feminist psychology episode. And I was also in Seneca Falls.
Yeah.
Summer, would have been cool.
Maybe we'll do something. Maybe we'll get something together down the road. That might be fun. I like that. Because, I mean, we did that back in the day. We had to do Cortez and Washington Psych down the road. So maybe we'll get, if listeners want Jeanette Rankin Psych, and we'll do it because I love talking feminism. But Jeanette Rankin ended up being your favorite. That's awesome.
Yes,
yeah.
And then he who shall not be named.
We know,
Sherry,
we know. We know. I think you actually like Charles II better than Bonnie Prince Charlie.
I hate them all.
Oh, my. All right. Kelly, who's your favorite of this season? Or least favorite?
I really like Jeanette Rankin as well, but Zumbi was my favorite because I'd never heard of him before. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I liked his grandmother more than I liked him.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
The whole family, I was just like, okay, badass. But yeah, Sherry and I have the same affinity for our dislike. Ugh, the Bonnie one was rough. Mm-hmm.
It had a great what if. Back me up here, Cullen. It had a great what if.
I think it was an hour of Zach justifying why he chose Bonnie references.
Hold on. You want to know why? I felt so I went into the opener of the season on the ropes after I had PTSD, Charlie 2 PTSD, when Sherry came at me, and I was so blindsided by it. You talk about blindsided. I was terrified that episode. Cullen's messaged me, hey, Cullen, you know, on the psych episode for Bonnie Prince Charlie, Cullen messaged me and says, oh, she got you. And then by the end, he's like, well, you held your own this round. And I'm like, okay.
Well, okay, think about it. The two women on the podcast are both agreeing that these are the most boring men known to men, yet you keep choosing them. Like, what are you going to listen
yeah,
to?
Yeah, you do. It sounds like you do have bad taste.
What if the guest hosts could have some input into the great minds, or even the head guest host?
When the guest hosts start promoting, editing, picking, writing the scripts, and doing every other fucking thing, dude, you guys.
Zach, with your love. Show, but with it's love. It's yeah,
Luke,
show.
Luke, if Luke was here, he'd be like, this is your show, Zach. You can do what you want until it makes me unhappy.
But Luke would also say, Abigail Adams said, like, remember the ladies.
Remember the ladies. Remember the ladies. That's true. And on that note, though, so who was your favorite, Kelly? Oh, Zumbi.
Zumbi was my favorite.
Zumbi's great. Yeah, he was exhausting, though. Like, because there's no source material on him. Remember, I almost used a novel as my main source. Yeah. And I was like, this doesn't read right. What's wrong? Cullen?
My favorite was Cleopatra. Because so often, you know, like, I'm always talking about ancients and, you know, BC times and stuff like that. So it's nice to get someone way back when, in terms of your topics, you know, I was relieved to see some, like the Roman era being represented. So, but also because she, you know, she really got to use power and really had Caesar kind of wrapped around her finger for a little while there. And not only him, but, you know, Mark Antony as well. So she was, that was my favorite episode was Cleopatra. My least favorite episode, and it's not for the reasons you might think. It's Benedict Arnold.
I knew it was going to be Benedict Arnold.
Well, I did go and say why obviously Saratoga was a phenomenon. Hopefully you got the Saratoga battle I put.
I have it. I'm going to post it. Patreon content coming soon.
Cool. But no, I will defend Bonnie Prince Charlie for you though. I mean, it the whole 7 Years' War, and the height of 1759. Charles was summoned to Paris, and, you know, they basically tried to see if would it be worth or, you know, available to use him to kind of sow dissent amongst England again, you know, to bring the Jacobites. I mean, that was who he was in charge of, right? The Catholic, you know, like. And so
the French are always meddling. Yes.
Right. Meddling. And even though they were going to lose New France, you know, they wanted to make it hurt for the English people. And really Bonnie Prince Charles, that was, I guess, his role, but I don't know. In terms of not liking them, I liked all four. There's not
five technically, but yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Jeanette Rankin still got the full Great Mind treatment.
I missed that episode.
It was the season opener.
Oh, it was a good one. Yeah.
I loved writing Jeanette Rankin. I mean, I can't say I had a least favorite. Oh, Colin, did you say your least favorite? Oh, yeah, you said it.
I missed it. I really don't.
Yeah. Great Mind number 20. Okay. No. 21, 22, 23. Yeah, Great Mind number 20. Yeah.
I'll have to go back.
And what, see. Kelly?
Who is your least favorite?
So I don't have a least favorite. As we know and say on Shots All the Time, I get very attached to these great minds, and I read so much that I don't get to say. And I will say this, the hardest one to write was Zumbi, because there's just no primary source material. Mm-hmm. Cleopatra has one quote, Zumbi has none. All right. So Cleopatra is probably the one I had the most fun researching. And the easiest one to write was Bonnie Prince Charlie. I won't lie, but I'm a little bit of a – so I'm kind of torn, because Benedict Arnold and Jeanette Rankin are two of my favorite U.S. history figures of all. And I love Jeanette Rankin because she's like – she gets overlooked. And, I mean, she's a badass. You know, I actually play a game with my students after when FDR goes and asks – after Pearl Harbor, FDR goes and asks. I said, okay, 535 people get to cast a vote, yes or no. How many people were said no? Most of them either say zero or like half, thinking it's like half. And I was like, no, one. To be the only person that says no – you're braver than most of the people we covered this season. So I love Jeanette Rankin, and I don't like to forget about her. So, but Luke would have said Bonnie Prince Charlie. He loves Bonnie Prince Charlie. I bet he would have stepped up and said, "You ladies are wrong. Bonnie Prince Charlie's the best." Probably Cheevers too. Stacey Roberts. You know, everybody loves Bonnie Prince Charlie, but you too. So, no. Oh. I'm kidding. Bonnie Prince Charlie is problematic, but I think it's important to have people at the other end of the great mind spectrum who shook things up, but didn't win, you know, but like We'll talk about that later, actually. Actually, we're going to talk about it right now because my next question is a tough one.
Wait, I have a question first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So did he get the lowest amount of crowns in the history of DGMH?
Ooh, that's tough. I think so without piece of shit points. I think some other people ended up with less because
you need a chart hanging behind you.
Okay, I will do that in the next.
Everyone that we've done.
Last shots that his rankings make no sense. So
no, they do. You said the piece of shit made no sense.
It was.
It does. It does. And did you listen to the POS episode? I justified every single. I felt like John Adams refuting Alexander Hamilton's like treatise against him because I was like, no, 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 no. Cheevers like my scale. That's enough.
I lost so much respect for Cheevers after listening to his rationale. I have to say, sorry, Cheevers, but you diminished my view of Australia a tiny bit there. I was,
Oh my. I think Bonnie Prince Charlie was very low, only because he didn't accomplish anything. He ended up in a drunken mess, which we give a cheers to. And, he didn't really, he wasn't the leader. He was entertaining to me, but not to Sherry. So maybe we split the points there. I don't know. Maybe he would have been a real piece of shit.
I didn't say he wasn't entertaining because I actually enjoyed the folly of listening to you constantly justify why you were bringing him up. But I just, when you have 4 and maybe 5 great minds a season, I just don't understand the choice.
The theme was what if he did present a good what if.
I am sure.
To which I remember you saying, what if was 2/5 of the episode? To which I went back and shot back and said, no, it was 1/5, and I timed it because I thought you might say that. I will never cover a Stuart. You know, we covered a secret Stuart, Sherry. His name was James the First. We covered him over 6 different episodes on witches and November the 5th, that is to say, Bonfire Day. We covered him a lot. And he might be making an appearance this Thursday, so get ready. But, all right. Well, the next question is tough. Honestly, I think this is a hard question because everyone this season fucking failed. They absolutely failed. So who do you believe accomplished, I guess that's to say, they failed, and that's what makes for good what if stories. You know, like that's what made them fun what ifs, is that they failed, and if they didn't, maybe it turned the tide. But of all our failures, who accomplished the most greatness? I should say Jeanette Rankin failed in the sense, if we're bringing her in, which we seem to be a lot more than I did. I didn't know if we would. Cullen never listened to the episode anyway. So, but Jeanette Rankin is, you know, she did get voted out twice. So in a way, she kind of ultimately,
I'll start. I would actually say Jeanette Franklin is the winner because her primary goal was women's suffrage, mm-hmm. which we got. The fact that she was elected into Congress before women even had the right to vote
mm-hmm.
is pretty fucking badass.
Well, they had the right to vote in a lot of states, but not nationally.
And I feel like that ultimately was her primary goal. So I would say that.
Yeah, that and say no. Which sounds so simple, but pacifism is a hard thing to have, especially after Pearl Harbor. Yeah. She's so brave. Yeah. I mean,
using that as an argument to get women's suffrage. Like, that's mm-hmm. one of the things I loved about the suffragettes is showing Wilson's hypocrisy and to, you know, prove their point. Mm-hmm. So I have to give her my vote.
Cherry?
What was the cookie? Tell me the question again.
Oh, the question is, of all these failures that never really accomplished their goals, who accomplished the most?
Yeah, so I am going to agree with Kelly only because she was a first and she was very principled. And I respect somebody who, even when they knew that they were going to be defeated, still did what they thought was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's a toss up to me in some respects between her and Zumbi.
And I was thinking
when I was re-listening to the episode today that I think one of the problems with Zumbi in general is the fact that not a lot was archived and mm-hmm. written about him. And I think, you know, at first I was thinking, well, maybe that's why he should get the nod because, you know, he lived in the 1600s, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe there was not an opportunity to record even more things that we don't know about him. But then I started thinking about, well, there are ancient Romans and ancient Greeks that we know a lot about that were also great, but a lot was recorded about them. They were free. So maybe he didn't do anything else. So yeah. I don't know. But I just, I admire people who are principled and do what they believe is the right thing, regardless of what their politics are, what their religion is. But they just, they always stand up for what they stand for. And I think Rankin is a good example of that.
And I love the point you made about Rankin, and I instantly went to Zumbi because of the principledness. He fought to the death, you know? I mean, Zumbi's an interesting thought there, and I love that you made that comparison already. Colin, what do you think?
I was going to go with Zumbi, and just to follow along with what Sherry's saying, I mean, this is a man that raged against the slave trade and established Paul Mares to help his fellow man escape. And these colonies gave people respite from horrendous living conditions on the sugar plantations. And, you know, the fact that he goes down swinging, you know, it's kind of like a Leonidas type figure who, you know, he's outgunned at the end. I think the Portuguese, is that who broke him? I think it was. They bring in
ultimately, yeah, the Bandeirantes.
Yeah. But I mean, he, you know, he's kind of like a Che Guevara or a Nathan Hale, like a figure that, you know, is going to say, I'm not going to take this. I'm going to give my life for my people. So there's something romantic, inspiring about a person who's willing to go down swinging for, you know, fighting against slavery. You know, so yeah, he failed, but I think his
to be fair, he did take his uncle's life to fight that cause too.
Well, arguably.
What?
We don't know for sure he did it.
You're right. That's true. We don't know for sure that he did it. But I always like the story that's better. Like, Arnold was drunk when he charged on the battlefield. That's my favorite version, and I stick to it. You guys have made some compelling cases. It's a tough call. I'm going to give a nod to Cleopatra because she reached the highest peak before she fell. She had... Well, back then it was the world. You know, she had the world at her fingertips and it just went the wrong way in the end. And I'm going to give a nod to her because I think she accomplished the greatest amount of power in the end. But she thus lost the most, too. But they all lost in a way. Jeanette Rankin's voted out after both no's. You know, she said, I mean, but she got reelected. And Jeanette Rankin's a fighter. And I'm really, like, I got this psych episode in my head now, and I'm really into it, Sherry. So let's make it happen.
When did Rankin die?
Oh,
73. I just looked it
up.
Yeah,
it was later. 70,
I think 73.
Because I know it had to be the 70s because she was an avid protester of the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Yeah. She was actually marching. In her 90s, she was actually going to run for Congress again
pre-ERA, because I feel like ERA was late 70s.
I don't know.
But I think she was at the beginning of the movement.
Yeah, the feminist movement. Yeah.
There's 73 is when she died. She was 92.
But she was still going. You know, I mean, death just slowed her down. No, she is. She is badass, too. Yeah. But a subtle badass. I always made a point to teach her. I always liked her. So. Well, let's do a light one. Of all the great minds of season 4, who would you most like to sit down and have a beer with? I'm sorry, a drink with. Any cocktail you prefer.
Well, not Cleopatra.
No. You probably end up dead. Cleopatra might be making an appearance this Thursday, ladies. Colin, you look like you have a thought right off the bat.
Yeah, I would want to sit down with Benedict and just pick his brain and be like, dude, why? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
why are you so awesome? Right.
Well, that, yeah. I mean, why? I mean, obviously, like I said, he wins.
He would tell you why he's so awesome. Yeah,
he would tell you. I'm great. I'm the greatest great mind.
I want to know, was it Peggy Shippen that turned him? Was it, I know he got passed over, you know, or was it Granny Gates that got him irritated that he got the glory? Like, I would want to dissect his grudge. You know, because most people that have a grievance, and maybe Sherry can speak to this, but like when someone feels personally affronted,
do you have a grievance, Sherry?
No.
She's a grievance. Right. She's a grievance with the number one show guest host.
I do not have a grievance with the number one show guest host. I love the number one show guest host.
I kid, of course. I kid.
No, I have no grievance.
I'm asking if she can speak to.
How could you have a grievance with Colin?
You couldn't have agreements with Cullen. I'll tell you how, and I'll remind you how. If Cullen walks up to you and said, hey, a little worried about you cutting it in this honors class with your bad test score, you might have agreements with Cullen.
He would have never said that to me.
Well, he said it to me. I got a B, and then I got an A on the next one. Like,
if you would just pick up your game, I wouldn't have to, you know, have to push you.
All right, Cullen. Yes, he wants to psychologically understand the grievance, I think, yes. But anyway.
Well, yeah, that was my point, was to share it. Like, when someone feels wronged, or like, you know, I mean, like, personally, like I guess Benedict did, or felt passed over. I mean, it seems like a very powerful emotion to, like, you know, fuck this, I'm going to burn everything down. You know, it's kind of like, is that, I think most humans, that's human nature, right? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
That's what I want to ask him. Anyway.
He's like Nero watching it all burn. Yeah. Yeah. I like it. That's fun. I like that the drink has a purpose to it. Sherry, he kind of posed it to you, so if you want to answer that question, you can, but if not, just tell us, who would you like to sit down and have a drink with? Bonnie Prince Charlie?
Well, actually, I would, because while here, are we resurrecting these people from the dead to have a drink with them, or is it back in the day?
Either one. That's kind of fun. I mean, both are kind of fun.
So I would resurrect him from the dead and have a drink with him, a stiff drink with him, and get him to justify all of his moves and why he thinks he is deserving of your laud and a guest spot on Outlander. That's what I would do. Because I would just really want to find out. No, and I mean this most seriously, because
you
want
to know his why.
No, I don't want to know anybody's why. I could care less about anybody's why, but you know, I mean, I love Zach. He's a great teacher. It was just a surprising choice, because most of the time Zach and I are in complete mental sync with each other. And this is the one that I just can't figure out. So I would want to meet with the man himself. He likes a good drink. So
he does. You know,
he would be amenable to anything. And I would just want to pick his brain and find out why.
I like that. I kind of thought you might go there in a way. Yeah, no, I do. He'd be interesting to chat with, like, what's your, I would like to see if he's actually weak or if he's actually courageous. I don't know. It's hard to tell by the sources, but Kelly, who are you having a beer with?
I would have a drink with Cleopatra.
You would die.
I would pour my own, and no, I feel like she's badass, and she's got the tea to spill. Like, I want to know how she got all of these men to basically do her bidding for her.
Oh, she's the most cunning of all our great minds. I would say that. Kelly, what are you trying to tell us here? Are you looking for some tips and tricks?
Whatever works.
Cleopatra, I need a Caesar, even a Mark Anthony. Hell, I'll take an Octavian, but I need to know what you do.
I'll take anything except a man who puts lemon in his Yingling and drinks it with a straw.
Standards are low. Oh, my. She's single, gentlemen. No, no. I wasn't firing any shots. I don't think I meant to anyway. So, okay, I like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. A lot of pressure around Zumbi. I had too much stress going on. Cleopatra's probably the most fun, I think, to have a drink with. Hit that Egyptian hooch a little bit, you know, and see what that wine's like or whatever they're doing. And I think that she would give the most witty of conversations.
Oh, yeah.
I think really for historians, they can't do it. But for people just listening, take every mention of beauty and just throw in witty. And that's what they really mean. You know, there was a beauty in her intellect, and that's Cleopatra. So I'm going to nod with Kelly here and say Cleopatra. So.
I mean, do you think Zumbi would actually be fun to sit down and drink with? See, I don't get that vibe.
No, I get a lot of stress. I get like anxiety thinking about that. Like
an anger,
oh my God,
drink.
Yeah. Like, let's have a drink and go kill people. Like, I don't want to. Benedict Arnold's a close second. I won't lie. Benedict Arnold
is my second choice too.
Yeah. I want to know why. Plus I just feel like, because I love him so much, I'd be like, hey, man, I got you. I get you. You matter. Like, he needs a Gen Zer or something right by his side. Just saying, like, hey, man.
Let me throw something out there, though. You know who would totally manipulate him is Cleopatra. Because it seems like Benedict Arnold is just, he will do whatever women tell him to. Because Cleopatra would wrap him around her finger and make him her bitch.
But that's like, is Peggy Shipp and Cleopatra reincarnated? That's what Cullen wants to know. You know, I mean, what
could be?
What fun? What fun? And speaking of what?
Wait, can I toss something back to just what Cullen was saying? I mean, if I had to just quickly conjure up something psych related for the whole Benedict Arnold justification, I think it could be because Benedict Arnold just felt inferior and felt he needed to make his mark somehow. Alfred Adler was a psych researcher. He was actually a friend of Freud's. They used to get together once a week and smoke cigars and drink. Mm-hmm. But he's the one who created the idea of the inferiority complex. And so I wonder if that's part of it. I mean, because when you study the founding fathers and the great minds, he is not usually part of that list.
By choice of American dispatriots. Cullen is on the move, ladies and gentlemen. Cullen is going, Cullen's gone rogue. We are in some basement area.
We're going to the basement. So
his Wi-Fi got a little better too, I think. But yeah,
I'm at my folks' house. We had Sunday dinner, and they're watching television in my dad's
house. Okay, so one thing we're not in Florida. We're not used to so many stairs nor dissension in any way.
What's a basement?
Sorry,
hell of a
basement. Riesling from his basement vineyard.
What are all these things on the wall? We don't have time.
Oh, they're my dad's publications, the music that he publishes. Yeah. So those are published pieces.
I love that. Nice. Okay.
Sorry.
Colin, did the Steelers win?
Yeah, they did. They did, barely. They gave me a heart attack.
The Steelers?
Steelers, yeah.
Goat Steelers, black and gold. Represent. On that note, Cullen's dad's music will also be available in the Cullen store that doesn't exist. Download it on Spotify. Is it on Spotify?
I think it is on Spotify. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. What's his name?
I have a piano here too. I can play. Robert G. Farrell.
Farrell on Spotify, listeners. We can't plug any more shit tonight except for Patreon land. All right. So before we head into Patreon land, what is one what if that you would have liked to have seen in this season's lineup, whether it be a great mind or a great what if story? Where would you have liked to have seen us go? We're dumping Bonnie Prince Charlie. Who's the other great mind? Ooh. I mean, I don't want to dump Bonnie. Go ahead, Kelly.
What if Bobby Kennedy was not assassinated and won the presidency?
Shit. That's a good one. Fuck. Oh, wow. Not JFK.
Bobby.
RFK, that's fucking fantastic. I love it. That's a good one. Sirhan who?
Bobby was my favorite candidate, and I oh my gosh, civil rights, Vietnam, possibilities are endless.
Not that LBJ didn't pick up that stick. But
Bobby would have taken.
Oh, Nixon. It was Nixon, or it was Nixon that came next. You're right. And then, Sherry, I know you go Rosemary Kennedy. When you hear Kennedy, you have to go Rosemary Kennedy, right?
But she's not my choice. But
No. I mean, like, when you hear that name, though, you have to think of that, right? I mean, I was in there that day. You taught that lesson. Sherry teaches a great lesson on lobotomies and Rosemary Kennedy, and it's fantastic. Anyway, that's a great one.
So odd way to phrase that, but
I do that a lot. Who wants to go next?
I got two. Can I talk two?
You can talk two.
All right. Okay. So one is purely just a personal interest, but okay. I'll do the first one first. Is if John Lennon was not assassinated.
Fun.
What I just think it's interesting.
Imagine
what would have happened to the Beatles had Lennon continued to live, because. Yeah. I mean, Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney right now are of such immense status.
Mm.
So anyways, that was just amazing I had. But
he never met Yoko Ono.
Yeah, that's a good one. What if he never met Yoko?
Yeah, thing.
Yeah.
But my other one, just personally, would be what if Princess Di was still
alive? Oh, that's a great one. That's a great what if. Fuck, yeah, that's a good one. She's such a cool figure. I mean, when she was so subtle in the things she did, the shaking of the AIDS patient's hand, the walking across the minefields. I mean, Princess Di, she would still be a force. No, we would have never stopped. The royal family would have had to like welcome her back in as like an exception just to survive if she had survived. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Cullen? Sherry Goodwin's, yeah. Kelly Goodwin.
Oh, boy. So this could be anywhere in history?
Any what if?
What if? What if Martin Luther
Damn it,
did his thing? Okay, well,
no, what if Martin Luther, go ahead. No, what if Martin,
I thought of the other day.
No, so I know.
If Martin Luther translates the Bible, but mm-hmm. Johann Gutenberg and his printing press aren't up and running yet, in which case you have no mass distribution.
Yeah.
No way for him to get his, you know, all of his stuff out. You know, it's kind of weird that the two things had to happen together. You can't just have Luther without a printing press or a printing press without Luther.
My lessons were print revolution, Martin Luther. We can't do one without the other. I agree. Cullen, so fun fact, everybody and listeners, get ready for this. I'm about to blow your mind. Martin Luther was actually supposed to be the fourth great mind, not Benedict Arnold. If you listen to the original season premiere, Martin Luther is the handyman revolutionary. But I switched it to Benedict Arnold because I fucking wanted to. And Martin Luther is such a great what if. Now, on the fly, I have to think of another one. The other one,
I had two. The second one was, what if the Nazis developed their heavy water program and they actually were able to develop the bomb before the United States.
Jesus. Oh, fuck.
Because wow. if that happens. and watching the Oppenheimer movie, this was a kind of a what if. And I think if he would have had it, he would have used it. And if he would have used it, he would have brought the world down. I mean, that was, mm-hmm. you know, something.
Absolutely.
That,
so I think of a few now off the top of my head.
I was buying
time. One, I'm just going to go with it. What if Teddy hadn't run in 1912, and we had a Taft second term for World War. Well, no, who would have been president in World War One? We don't even know. Wilson might not have made a comeback. He was a no name. You know, he might not have. What if Teddy hadn't run and Taft had won that second term, which he would have had Teddy not run? The progressives still would have stuck with Taft, I think. I don't know. That's the what if I'm thinking. I can't escape it.
Do you think Taft would have entered the war?
Well, Taft wouldn't have been president by the outbreak of the war, so who the fuck would have known what happened after that? I don't think Wilson would have been president ever.
So I'm trying to think of the timeline. It was 1904, Teddy Roosevelt was president, and it was 1908, Taft was president. 1912 was when...
1912, Wilson becomes president. We don't enter the war until Wilson's second term, because Wilson ran on a peace...
World War One started in 1914, so...
Right. So Taft would have left office not having to deal with it. Would Taft have been the first president to be elected to a third term?
It wouldn't have been a third term. Was Teddy Roosevelt elected in 1904?
No, Taft served one term, second term, full term. Wilson served a full term before he got into World War One.
I know. No, he served two terms. Wilson was elected in 1912 and 1916.
Oh. Right, but Taft served in 1908 to 1912. He would have done 1912 to 1916.
I
bet you Taft would have been the first president elected the third three terms.
No,
because
I disagree.
Who would have gotten elected?
I don't know. But I don't know if Taft would have gotten into the war.
That is why it makes for a great what if. Tafty, the three-term president. Taft for life. You know who would have came in? William fucking Jennings Bryan. All right, listeners, we're going to head over to last call. So we discussed a lot of poisonous tales this season.
So I can get another beer.
You can get another drink, but I'm going to introduce the themes. We discussed a lot of poisonous tales this season. I want to know, which was your favorite? And also, hear your favorite murderous moment in history. As we head into last call, listeners, just follow the link in the show notes to get access to this exclusive bonus episode and so much more. As far as fascinating murder tales go, I mean, Julia Tofana is my favorite of the season. Cleopatra's a good one too. Zumbi is super thought-provoking, but Julia Tofana, I love her. I agree with you, ladies. I don't know.
For once.
What?
I said for once.
Don't you? You're triggering me right now. You're triggering me. I'm going to restore DGMHocracy in this fucking podcast. We need to restore the patriarchy in this podcast. And listeners, you need to watch Sister Wives to get that. I don't like patriarchy. Patriarchy is stupid, but men are stupid. It's true. I am an example of that. All right, let's head back out. Any other thoughts for Patreon land? Anything you want to get off your chest? We got to wrap this up. All right. Listeners, we just left Patreon land. I don't know if we said anything stupid enough to peep in the main episode, but we are here heading out. We did a pretty good. Luke wasn't here, so nothing crazy off the walls. But listeners, we are heading out of Patreon land. Just follow the link in the show notes to get access to this great chat on murderous stories and things we just want to explore more, plus our favorite poison tale of the season. But I have to ask a quick question. Of all our season four great minds, who would win in a fight?
Zombie.
Benedict Arnold.
I go with Arnold.
We are split. Oh, wow.
Zombie invented a whole different way of fighting.
Yeah, you're right. And Arnold would look at that dance fighting and be like, what the fuck are you doing? And just like
drill him with that musket. Yeah.
No, he'd be too late. Zombie would already knocked him out. Arnold would be too distracted by the women.
We need Luke to break.
Arnold was not a womanizer. He was just a little thing.
He was distracted by the women whenever they said.
I think he'd be distracted by a mirror faster. Okay. All right. We are split. Zumbi and Arnold in the ultimate matchup. But then Cleopatra's just sitting there like, yeah, I got you. You're all right. It's Bonnie Prince Charlie. All right. So
It is not.
All right, let's start to wrap this one up. So first off, as we leave Patreon land, I always like, and Kelly, I know this season you've struggled with this, but we are leaving Patreon land. Or maybe it's last season, who knows. Is there any questions you have to pose? Any final big thoughts that you want to bring up? Any questions that have come to your mind? Cullen, Sherry, Kelly. Cullen has a question or thought.
If we have the final vote and we each vote for one different one, we'll have an unbreakable four-way tie. Or if we do two and two. So what do you propose when we do our
Cheever's final choice. Cheever's Luke choice. has forfeit his decision.
No, that ship has sailed. Cheevers is I'm debarring him. He's when he's
Cheevers was up, great. Lionel Hershenmacher is monarchy
and the queen, whatever the hell. I mean, he was like having
Cullen says Cheevers wins, Lionel is dead. Okay. Sorry, Cheevers. Cullen has
Cheevers' choice. Luke gets no vote.
Luke gets no vote. That is definite. I don't know. I don't think that's possible that we all choose a different great mind. But in the theory,
or we can say because women have suffered for so long, Sherry and mind vote doubles to make up.
I have been nothing but a feminist on this show. I have tried very hard to. I've changed the name. I've covered great women. So many women in the margins from the very beginning. Malinche. Nobody even knew who fucking Malinche was on this podcast before me.
Just saying.
Where's Zombie?
I don't know about that. Zombie? All right. I like your... Okay. How about this, Cullen?
Let's just say it won't happen. It won't happen. No.
If it happens, nobody's going to choose Bonnie Prince Charlie. But maybe... Okay, that's so correct. If somebody throws in a Jeanette Rankin curveball and we all choose a different great mind, I guess we'll bridge that when we get to it.
Okay.
That is fair enough. Fun, terrifying question, but you've disavowed Cheevers. Sorry, buddy. We love you.
Sorry, buddy.
But all right. Wait. Maybe we need a Roberts rant. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe we'll post it to Patreon.
Let's wait and see what happens.
All right. I don't think it's going to happen, but it could. It could. Hypothetically, Luke has let us down yet again. Well, and it could have happened if Luke was here.
Yeah.
Any other? Sherry, you look like you had a thought or question.
No, I'm just, but we're, are we voting for who we thought was the greatest great mind? Is that
of the season ultimately? Four great minds? Jeanette Rankin, okay. Bonnie Prince Charlie, Cleopatra, Arnold.
Okay, well, don't make any assumptions on my part.
I enjoyed
the Jeanette Rankin episode the most, but that may not be my vote.
No assumptions. I just know nobody's voting for Bonnie Prince Charlie.
That is correct. Nobody
ever.
Okay,
so I can make one assumption.
You could have many other guest hosts, and nobody would vote for Bonnie.
I don't like this hate on the guest host comment. I will call you my co-host from henceforth.
Next question.
I don't want to be a co-host.
Next question? Kelly, do you have any thoughts?
No, I want the next question. Let's go.
We know the next question. Let's talk footprint. Of all these great minds, who left the biggest stamp in the ground? Who was the footprint champion? It's not the choice that we're going to make, but of all the great minds of season four, Jeanette Rankin, Bonnie Prince Charlie, hell, we'll throw in Julia Tofana, even though I don't know if she's going to make it, and Benedict Arnold and Cleopatra and Zumbi. Who left behind the greatest historical footprint? And the answer is Benedict fucking Arnold or Cleopatra, and I'm torn, so I want to hear what you guys think.
See, I wasn't thinking either of those. I was thinking.
I was thinking both of those.
Yeah.
Sherry, we'll go you first.
Well, because I just think that the greatest footprint in history. I mean, I was just thinking that, you know, women having a right to vote, but that, but women don't have a right to vote in most places in the world. So that, that is not a big foot. It's a big footprint in the United States, but no place else. But I think that, you know, the unenslavement of people, I mean, that, that has been pivotal in many cultures across eras. So.
And by people, we mean women. That's a word. That's a powerful word choice.
Somebody fighting for people not to be enslaved, that to me is the big footprint.
For Zumbi or Jeanette Rankin? Zumbi. Okay. I thought you were talking about Jeanette Rankin.
I don't think you can apply her footprint. Women don't have a right to vote in most places in the world still. So
okay. I'm going
with Zumbi. But just because of
born there.
No slavery.
Yeah, no, the enslavement piece, being willing to stand up and fight for it and have a free kingdom and be a king of, I mean, if his would have survived, we wouldn't be talking about Haiti as the first and only slave uprising to turn.
Well, free. And I just think if you would not have had people fighting against slavery in their own individual corners in the world, I mean, I think collectively that is what has in part ended slavery in other places in the world.
Okay. So I accept the premise. We'll go Cullen next.
So Cleopatra, because if the Battle of Actium goes the other way, if Mark Antony does win, she poisons him and then ends up being queen regent, ruling through her son or her child that she ends up having. You know what I mean? Like,
but that's,
I
think, what if, could, though.
That is a what if, but I just think her footprint is a woman being a ruler in an ancient world.
Yep.
Was unheard of. And so she, you know, I think she brought a lot to the table. She manipulated the men in her life. She was never a victim. She, you know, used her moxie or what will you call it? But she ping-ponged superpowers against each other, you know, like.
So. Cullen is spot on. You're spot on in the sense that's
she
why I'm
out at the end.
Oh, she checked out by choice.
She loses. It's the Game of Thrones. You win or okay, you die.
Wait, though. Cullen's right, though. Footprint is different than legacy and anything else. Footprint is what you left behind. A woman making her own choice. A woman ruling. A woman ruling in a time where men ruled. And she just didn't fit in her society. And she said, fuck it, I don't care. And Cullen, that's why I'm leaning that way towards Cleopatra. But I really want to hear what Kelly has to say, because I know you were thinking the same lines as me, right?
But Arnold. I was thinking Arnold. Cleopatra. If Arnold's successful, he splits the American Revolution in half.
I mean, it's not the what ifs. It's the fact. I'm going to pull back to betrayal. All our shots.
Yeah.
Yep. Betrayal. Yeah. Kelly?
Yeah, I was torn between the two. I mean, I wrote my history thesis on the civil rights movement. I never heard of Zumbi before. That's where I was like, okay, which is sad, but never heard of him. Jeanette Rankin's awesome, but again, footprint globally. I would put my nod towards Benedict Arnold, solely because imprint of Cleopatra, she's seen as just this seductress, this woman in the scenes. Yeah, she was the ruler, but did she really pull the strings? So for me, it has to go with Benedict Arnold because of everything he did with the Revolutionary War. I mean, as much as I hate to agree with you on anything.
Look at you. Cheevers gets some redemption here, too. I'd like to give Cheevers some redemption.
No, but his imprint, though, is about, you know, footprint, betrayal. Yeah. That is what he is known for.
But so that's it, that though.
Is the that's imprint it, though. Is when I say, it's like, oh, you're a Benedict Arnold. Everyone knows I'm saying you're.
Yep. Actually, that's fading away. I have noticed in recent years, past three years, that's fading away. I have to explain.
Students who don't know anything.
Eventually, those students who don't know anything are going to be the only ones who know anything, because we'll all be dead. You know what I mean? Like, that idea that Benedict Arnold is synonymous with traitor is dying out, Kelly, I think, with our generation and a few more after us. And it is a reality that we're getting old. But I am stuck. Every woman in the world knows Cleopatra. Every person in the world knows who Cleopatra is. A majority. No, I mean, in the Western world, I guess I should say Western, but they associate with beauty and Benedict Arnold with treason. Cleopatra, ironically, I think it's remembered for more of her successes than Benedict Arnold does. Nobody cares about Saratoga. They only care about his treason. So I'm going to nod towards Cleopatra.
That's fair.
So do we have any final thoughts?
What ifs. I'm going to say that.
Well, what ifs are over.
This season has been really challenging for me.
It has. Well, we've talked about Footprint. Now we are at the time. Does everybody in their mind, if we're ready to vote.
Wait, do everybody... we do the badass?
The badassery was just
piece of shit. Do we do piece of shit?
Oh, Jesus, you're right. I had so many questions. I didn't remember. Who is the biggest piece of shit at season four, Kelly?
Benedict Arnold. He betrayed
America. I'm so sick of this shit.
Betrayed America. Betrayed.
Yeah, Patrick killed two brothers and did.
Wanted to kill George. Rose to Garrett. Power because of her sexuality in some aspects. So I go Cleopatra.
I'm going Cleopatra. Not Benedict. I'm going not Benedict Arnold.
Come on, Colin.
Colin,
I was actually going to go Bonnie Prince Charlie.
He is a piece of shit. He's a stinker. He's just a stinker. Yeah. And I've had a lot of bourbon, but he's a stinker. So. All right, we're at an hour and 27 minutes of recording time. We need to wrap this motherfucker up. Oh, motherfucker sounds so mean. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry, motherfucker. So mean. But I've said it three times since then. So we'll just say we need to wrap this fucker up. Everybody have their answer? Everybody ready to go?
What are we voting on?
Who is the greatest great mind of season four? Is it Jeanette Rankin, who will give an honorable nod to and bring her in the group? Zumbi, Cleopatra, Benedict Arnold, or Bonnie? Obviously, it's Bonnie Prince Charlie. No, we are voting, and if it's a four-way tie, we'll solve that problem when we get to it. But it's time. Is everybody ready to go?
Are you going to do three, two, all right. One, and then...
Are we ready? Okay. 3, 2, 1, Cleopatra. No, Lincoln? Who's
I said Rankin.
Oh, Rankin. I just said Lincoln. Sherry, what'd you say?
Cleopatra.
Sherry, Cullen, and Zach agree.
Cleopatra. Wow.
And Kelly voted for Jeanette Rankin, which is great. The women win. That's all that matters. But more importantly, Zach is on the winning side.
Is this your first time?
For the first time in 2.5 seasons, Zach has won a decision, and it's because Luke's not here. So,
who do you think Luke would have voted for?
Bonnie.
Probably Bonnie Prince Charlie. I don't know. I feel like I'm just getting that vibe, and we're going to say it. But listeners, there you have it. This season's winner of the Supreme Crown of Greatness is none other than Cleopatra, Queen of Denial, Queen of Egypt. She fucking rocks. I spent 2 weeks researching her. I love her. Other than that, though, listeners, just, you know, we hope you consider supporting the show over on the DGMH Facebook page or the Twitter or the Instagram at DGMH History. We hope you consider leaving the show great, hopefully 5-star review. And I've had too much bourbon to say all this, but listeners, we hope you consider following the show on Patreon land. We got so much great content over there. Moments with Mr. DGMH, moments with Cullen, an extra moment with Mr. DGMH, last call bonus episodes like the one we did tonight, pregame episodes, and of course, Cullen chats China, Pete chats Portugal, what I'm teaching, Washington's words, and so, so, so much more great content over in Patreon land. Please head on over there. And what's everybody doing a shot of tonight?
I have old Tennessee moonshine.
Ooh, which flavor?
Just plain moonshine.
Oh, God help you.
No flavored.
I'm going to do a sip of my, I poured the whole bottle in the cup. So I put some water in there. So I'm not going to shoot this whole thing, but I'm going to have a sip and then I'm going to dump it out. Listeners, I hate to dump out good whiskey.
You ever
think
I'm using a shot glass instead of a soup bowl like you have?
Somebody said something about Cleopatra, but I got really pissed off for a second and then all poured in my cup. I don't know. Like, I don't know what happened, but like, it was during last call, and I looked at my cup, I was like, what the fuck happened? So anyway, here we are. What are you? Sherry's doing moonshine. Kelly?
I have some fire whiskey.
Jack fire whiskey?
Oh, yeah.
Always. Cullen? Shooting Seagram's some Riesling? Ooh, Seagram. Bringing out your Seagrams, and I'm going to shoot a little Maker's 46. So there you have it, listeners. The Battle Royale has ended. Season 4 has ended. We will be back next week for our season 4 finale. We, and by we, I mean me. I'll be back next week for our season 4 finale, where we will be discussing one final poisonous tale. But listeners, thanks for joining in with us. We raise a glass to you, an obnoxiously big glass of there's water in there, just to be clear. But hey, that brings out the flavor in a way. So cheers to you guys. Cheers to all my guest host, regardless of rank, except Luke. Luke is at the bottom because he didn't show up for the battle royale.
And to the basement wife, Sherry. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And to Cullen, who is by far the most supreme of the guests. So. Oh, and sweet. Kelly and Sherry and everybody. Thanks for listening and cheers.
Cheers.